This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 167 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. I am joined by Mr. Kelvin Newman.
Hello, Andy White.
Kelvin, I know that Brighton SEO was a fantastic success. And tell us a bit about some of the things that were mentioned.
Yeah, well, I mean, me and Andy have both had a busy couple of weeks. Andy's run a marathon, so give Andy a round of applause for running his marathon as well. Well done, Andy.
4:48.
Nice.
That's
nice
4 hours, 48 minutes, not 4 minutes, 48 seconds.
I was going to say, or 48 hours. Yeah. That would have been a real slow one.
Started off far too fast, paid the price at the end.
Exactly what I did when I did the Prague Marathon. I did a 2 hour half for the first half.
That was
half.
Me. I did the 2 hour, 2 minute half.
Yeah, and then I did mine in 4:40. So I did a 2:40 second half. So yeah. So,
oh, you did better than me then.
Yeah, well, only a few minutes. But yeah, I did exactly what you said there, where it was that kind of like run round in record time.
God, I was so puffed out at the end, I couldn't even raise my hands in victory. I just like shuffled over the line.
I drank a lot of beer. Was my
what
my
while
solution.
Running the marathon?
No. Afterwards, in terms of it was definitely a recovery drink. And yeah, I've also been pretty busy with kind of the Brighton SEO event. So you'll already, if you're a regular listener, know about this. It's a biannual event that we host in Brighton. And this one was the biggest one we've ever done yet. I mean, we moved on to the Brighton Dome, which, if you're familiar with Brighton, is a pretty big venue. We had room for 1,000 people, and the tickets sold out in 13 minutes. It was absolutely crazy.
That's 13 minutes.
So it's a free event, but yeah, it seems very, very popular. But I just wanted to share, for some of you who perhaps wouldn't have been able to make it along because you're in other countries and stuff like that, some of the takeaways that kind of were the key messages that kind of I took from the day, and from the program that we put together. So it was a really interesting, exciting day. Lots of people talking about search. It was opened up by a panel discussion between Pierre Farr from Google, who's one of their webmaster tools analysts, one of the few people from Google who'll ever go on the record about anything. Dave Coplin from Bing, who is their director of search and has another, I think he's like chief envisioning officer or something like that as well, which is a little bit airy fairy. But what he's really involved in is kind of trying to share the vision that Microsoft have for Bing with the search community, and a couple of search professionals as well. So Rishi Lakhani and Martin McDonald from Expedia. And it was chaired by Tony Goldstone from Fresh Egg. And one of the things that was really interesting about that discussion that developed there was the kind of perception, and we talked in a kind of previous episode about Google Penguin, which was starting to roll out as Brighton SEO was taking place, and also about issues like not provided. Now, we've not really talked about that on the podcast particularly, but essentially a couple of months ago, Google took away, they automatically switched to the HTTPS version of their site, so a secure version of their site, which kind of they presented as for privacy reasons, which, you know, there's an argument that that was the case. It's debatable. A lot of people don't believe that argument, but that's the argument that Google have put forth. And what that does is that means in Google Analytics, whereas it came through on natural search, you knew which keyword they'd come from. That was, you know, transferred across to Google Analytics. That wasn't, doesn't anymore where it's not set. So a chunk of your keyword data has now gone missing. Now, of course, the search industry are hugely upset about this because, that's kind of how they work out where they've been successful, or work out what keywords are sending traffic that their website doesn't perform well for, so they can then improve it. There wasn't kind of really a convincing argument there, but it was a really interesting experience to try and see how Google justified that, how Bing talked about it as well. And I think generally the assumption is that, you know, it's their playground, we need to play by their rules. And actually what perhaps I think the kind of underlying message that I took from that session was is that you can argue with these things, you can get yourself all kind of cross and upset about it, but sometimes it's their rules, it's their playground, we kind of have to play by their way of doing things. And actually what you ought to be trying to do is trying to understand how they think about things so you can anticipate this stuff beforehand. And that was kind of my key takeaway from that particular panel.
Was the general audience consensus on that sort of feeling, Kelvin?
I think people liked the chance to kind of speak their mind and give the engines a bit of stick, which is kind of, I suppose, a bit cathartic. But it was, from my opinion, it was a little bit sad that we had these kind of two great search engine panelists there, and much of the debate was discussing kind of ethics and, you know, that type of kind of, I suppose, some of the political issues around search, rather than actually using that to take advantage to ask questions about some of the new developments that have come out about things like hreflang and some of the microformat type stuff, which was clearly another key takeaway. One of the two of the most successful presentations on the day was Philip Sheldrake, who was talking about the semantic web and the Internet of Things. That went down very well, and he was kind of talking about the future of how structured data will really kind of influence the way that the internet develops. Because if we think that there's more and more people going online every day, every year, there's more and more things going online. So you're kind of having, you know, I suppose the best example of this, I think, was where, like, have you seen the Tower Bridge Twitter account that would tell you when it was opening and closing? And that's almost like Tower Bridge has its own Twitter account. Mm. And it's kind of, well, is there a stage when, you know, your fridge is going to have its own Twitter account and, you know, be generating, you know, are you going to be, as a retailer, as a supermarket, if I've got a fridge that can pick up RFID as things go in the fridge and then go out of the fridge and know when those your bin's got an RFID, so it knows when that food goes in the bin, that then can automatically order whenever I run out of yogurts. Can order Amazon Prime and that'll then deliver yogurts.
This is all
tomorrow.
To do with it's kind of how the technology is linked together, isn't it? Because this whole sort of intelligent fridge thing has been around for a while, but the idea of linking it to his own Twitter account. Yeah. My fridge has its own Twitter and his fridge.
Yes.
Andy's fridge.
Yeah.
As I've just had some cream cheese put in me. Yeah. Which sounds very, very good.
That's definitely not a euphemism there. Yeah, anyway. So that was a really interesting session that I think kind of set the course for the day and kind of helped us kind of appreciate that how is search going to work with, you know, SEO as a skill set going to work within that kind of environment. And I think it's interesting because there's machine content, there's understanding algorithms that are going to be part of this as well, that I think is, you know, very much part of it. There was also a session by Glenn Jones from Magix talking about microformats and schema.org. Now, schema.org and microformats are essentially a way of marking up your content in a specific predefined way that helps the search engines understand the context of the content that's there.
It's a semantic.
Yeah, semantic markup.
Thing,
yeah. So he used the example of kind of a recipe. So you can mark up a recipe in a very particular way that helps the search engines understand what that is. So it talks about the number of servings. It talks about the duration that it takes to cook. It talks about the different ingredients. It talks about the calories and all those types of stuff. And it just gives you a way of, you know, coding your content that makes it easier for the search engines to understand. So that then shows with it. So like when you search on for a recipe, there is the potential in Google now that you could specify, I want to search for recipes for Yorkshire puddings that don't contain that contain zero salt.
This is fascinating stuff because it basically makes the entire web a kind of unstructured database, doesn't it? Where you've got these like islands of proper data floating around in text.
Yeah. And I think that's really exciting because search people are at the forefront of kind of getting this introduced because they want to make their content more easy for Google to understand. So they're more like to serve their content than someone else's content. So that was definitely a theme there. And kind of another takeaway, which is kind of connected to that, is about the whole idea of the rel author tag, which is, you might have seen this in search results, and we probably ought to do an episode on this in its own right, actually, whereby when you search for a content, the image of the person who wrote that content appears next to it. And there's a growing consensus amongst the search community that at the moment there's kind of link-based metrics that determine where a page ranks. And there's also kind of social-based metrics that has, to some extent, an influence on where something ranks. But there's kind of a missing link there, which is who wrote it. So you can kind of know who wrote it, who shared it, and who linked to it. And if you've got those three things, you can actually make the algorithm a lot better. Because, for example, if I want to search for a review of digital camera, and there are two pages that are equally well linked to, equally socially shared, that never happens, but imagine that's the case, and one's written by a fashion journalist and one's written by a consumer tech journalist, the one that's written by the consumer tech journalist perhaps is a better result. But Google never really had a way of understanding that, but they do now, using the rel author tag, rel me and rel author tags. So that was another thing that came up in a couple of the talks as well, about how you can implement that. And I definitely think that's a subject that we ought to revisit in its own right. It's going to be a difficult one to talk about rather than show, if you see what I mean.
But technically, I find it fascinating, sounding rather like Spock from Star Trek.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I think it's just this kind of idea is that we're entering a phase of the web where people are making it easier for computers and algorithms to understand the context that's within a page.
The meaning of
the meaning of that page, yeah, and the meaning, yeah, of kind of the relationships between pages, which is really exciting as well. So there's this kind of, I think, a new golden age of technical SEO on the rise here, where it's a kind of helping web developers, helping web owners navigate these different technologies, these different approaches to marking up content that help you perform better in search engines. So that was clearly a big takeaway for me, that there's this kind of new developing areas of technical SEO that I find really exciting and that I think is kind of a huge opportunity for early adopters, because there are some websites that are doing this very well. There's a huge number of websites who this isn't even on their radar yet. And if you can get ahead of the curve, if you can get this stuff implemented now, you're going to have a pretty good chance to make hay while the sun shines.
You mentioned, was it schema.org?
Schema.org,
is that where a load of these microformat definitions are stored?
Yes. So essentially, schema.org is a kind of collaboration between the major search engines for microformats, you know, ways of marking up content that they approve of. Mm. Now, they also work with many of the other ones. So there's kind of, there's microformats.org, there's RDFA stuff as well, which is a similar kind of technology. And I'll admit, it does get a little bit confusing in terms of the different approaches to marking up structured data.
But I think there'll be a shakedown eventually.
I think that's kind of the idea of what schema.org was, that the search engines got a bit sick of these open source communities debating amongst themselves the best way of doing it, and said, well, if we choose how we want to do it, then everyone will fall into line with that, which is perhaps against the spirit of how these things how web standards ought to come up. You know, it isn't ideal, but you know, if someone forces the hand and the SEOs can make it really happen, you know, so Glenn, who was talking there, kind of comes from a kind of a web development background, a web standards background, and he was really impressed by how passionate the search community, how well his talk was responded to. And he kind of thought, well, I never thought to be, you know, I hadn't realised that it will be the search community that make web standards happen, perhaps more than the web standards community, which I think is kind of hugely gratifying. But it was a really good day. We're looking forward to programming it again. And I mean, I think they were the key takeaways, really, is that understand what the search engine's motives are, because there's going to be a huge amount of change there, and try and anticipate them. Also understand particularly microformats from Rich Stippett's perspectives, but also start to think about how authorship might affect the way that your website works. Gone are the days where you can set up an anonymous pen name and try and get that you know, content to rank in its own right, which I think is good news for journalists and professional writers as well.
Okay, so let's leave it there for today's show, and we'll see you very soon on the next episode of Internet Marketing. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White is signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.